Hallelujah. Should we stand up? And let's pray and give this session to the Lord. Why don't we give a big Jesus shout to Jesus? I'll count to three. When we get to three, let's shout the name of Jesus, eh? Lift up his name. The Bible's full of encouragements to shout. Shouting is really good for you, not just at the kids and the cat and your wife and your husband, not just at the football match, but actually, shouting is a fantastic emotional and spiritual release. And when we shout the name of Jesus, something actually happens. Often in battle in Israel, the Lord would say, shout, and strongholds would come down. Whole armies would be defeated. I was at a Bible week once, and we did this big shout thing. And, you know, I said, I'm going to count to three, and I keep shouting. Mind you, then we had a bit more time. I said, keep shouting for 2 minutes. If you run out of breath, take another breath and keep shouting the name of Jesus. And we did it. And then afterwards, we had a big ministry session. There was loads of deliverance that day. And one of the people who delivered was my old Bible, the principal of our Bible school, his daughter, who'd had a mental illness for 34 years. And she was totally, totally delivered in that shout. She wrote me a big letter about it. But it's just, you know, the power of, in faith, the Bible says over and over again, shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. And should we do it? I'll count to three. When we get to three, let's shout. Not to me. Not just, don't be frightened of your own voice. Jesus. You know, it says about Jesus' prayer life in Hebrews. During the days of his life on earth, he offered up prayers with loud cries and tears to the one who would hear him. Jesus didn't pray quiet. Loud. That's how he prayed. So should we shout to the Lord? One. Take a big deep breath. Two. Three. Jesus! Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are awesome, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Give the Lord a big clap. That frightens the devil and me. No. Well, to be honest, this session is usually quite easy. Any spirits or demons you have hanging around your life are going to leave tonight. Amen?
Amen.
And leave quite easily for the simple reason that you'll be just so ready for that to happen. By the time you get to this stage in Route 61, you've done a lot of stuff. You've opened up, you've been to the cross, you've repented. It's not that you do those things once, but once you start the process, you're seeing a more holistic view of what it means to be a Christian and to be free and to receive the ministry of Jesus. And part of the freedom that Jesus wants to bring you is just a spiritual freedom. There are unclean spirits, there are demons, there are, you know, spirits that are against God, against us, that attack us, that have a strategy to bring us down. And we need to just face the fact that Jesus came to set us free from them, give us authority over them, and make us the people who are casting them out and not accepting them into our lives, into our homes, into our workplaces. We have authority wherever we go to drive them out. We oppress them in Jesus' name. The Bible says in Acts that Jesus was anointed with power and the Holy Spirit, and he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. You know, we're not just oppressed by life's hurts. We're oppressed by the devil. And we're not just oppressed by, you know, our own habits and hang-ups. Attached to those things, often, there's a spiritual element. There is just a spirit or several spirits riding on the back of things, often in our childhood, and stay there unless they're driven out by Jesus. Often just becoming a Christian drives them out. Often getting baptized drives them out. Without you knowing anything about it, often you just feel freer, cleaner, your mind's cleaner, you don't have the negative thoughts that you used to have as much, you don't have, and something's left without you even knowing. That happens all the time, I'm sure. Sometimes there's a bit of a shout and stuff, or a bit of some sort of outward manifestation. But rarely, you know, and we don't necessarily want it or look for that in any shape or form. The devil's a bit of a drama queen, and he loves drama and making, he'd love us to fear him or make us think he's more powerful than he is. You know, some of us have seen horror movies and things about deliverance. It's just ridiculous, you know. Ridiculous. There is a manifestation sometimes, but we shut him up and kick him out quick. That's the point. Like Jesus did in the synagogue. I'm sure the guy who went to the synagogue that morning when Jesus first preached in his hometown in Nazareth, and he went to read the scriptures and started to preach that morning. Jesus preaching with power. I'm sure the guy in the synagogue did not know he had a demon. I'm sure he wasn't foaming at the mouth that morning over breakfast. He was a believer. He was part of the Jewish Israel community. He was a synagogue attender. He was just there in the synagogue. But when he was close to the presence of Jesus like that, and Jesus started to speak, it's too much for the demon. It's too much for the devil. The poor guy needed to get free. And Jesus was going to set him free through his word, through his power, through his presence. That's what he does for us because he loves us. The guy was obviously seriously controlled by something. His life outside that synagogue was probably not good because he was oppressed by the devil. Jesus began to preach and he just shouted out. Demon was scared. We know who you are. The Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us? Yes. Get out. Jesus told him to shut up and get out. And he did, and the man was free. You often think about the demon and the manifestation, but actually it was about the guy, setting the guy free. Jesus loved that sinner, that man, and wanted him free from the devil. And Jesus just did that all the time. That was a regular, normal part of his ministry. This is Jesus stuff, this. Being free from spirits, keeping them at bay, and driving them out of the lives of those around us is just part of our call as Christians. And making sure we keep receiving that freedom ourselves all the time and we keep free is part of Jesus' ministry. It's totally Jesus' stuff. I mean, the devil's hardly mentioned in the Old Testament. Hardly mentioned. Which is how he likes it. Oh, he's there, all right. Destroying, deceiving. But he's hardly mentioned. You get to the New Testament with Jesus, and he's coming out everywhere. It's everywhere. Jesus casting out demons, casting out demons, casting out demons. Gives the 12 authority. Cast it, go and heal the sick and cast out demons. And the early church, famous for it. Famous for it. Christians down through the ages, they're the people to get ghosts out of your house. Because not ghosts, the demons. They're the people to, when you want to be free, they're the people with the authority to drive him out. It's very important you grasp this tonight because we'll do a bit of general prayer together, renouncing the devil and, you know, commanding him to leave our own lives, which is good, you know, just keep the borders clear of our own lives. But it's good to know that you're able to do that for yourself. It's a DIY thing, this. It's keep your own borders clean. Don't assume that you won't ever be attacked or that nothing's the devil. No, sometimes it is the devil. I'm just having a bad day. Not necessarily. You might be being attacked. You need to know what to do. Authority to make sure that you win. If you were in a prisoner of war camp, someone cut the wire and got you out. That's what it's like to be free, you know. You're controlled. You're under the enemy's control all your life. Jesus said, whoever sins is a slave to sin. He said to the religious people, the Pharisees, your father is the devil. It's nice, isn't it? And that's how people were, under the oppression John says in his letter, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. It's real. Only Jesus sets you free. When you believe in him and put your trust in him and come to the cross, he cuts those wires and you are out. You're free. But there's still a war on. You get a gun handed to you. Now fight and stay free. Oh, I don't want to fight, thanks. I'd rather just be free. Well, you'll become a prisoner of war again then. You can be free in this life, but only if you're willing to fight. You fight to maintain your freedom. Freedom's a gift, but you fight to keep it. So we want you to fight everywhere that you need to stay free. Some of that's just a process. All of this stuff is connected. You know, sometimes just the truth sets you free, doesn't it? Wasn't that fantastic, that testimony of our brother, Craig, about his little lad. And I just absolutely love that. Because you totally relate to what he's saying, don't you? If you're a good dad and you love your son growing up in this evil world, you want to protect him. You think, and millions of dads think like this. And actually, without God, what other way is there to think? I've got to make him tough. I've got to protect him. Son, you're going to learn kung fu. Son, you're going to learn martial arts. I'll come with you. Son, you're going to learn, because you love them. You protect. We better protect ourselves. This world's evil, it is. But then that beautiful truth, when Jesus is in your life, wow, the relief. First of all, the truth that actually I can't protect my kids. Actually, as a parent, I have very little control over my kids. Isn't that right, Jenny? There's no good parents. There's no bad parents. There's just parents. We try our best. We love them. We bring them up. They've got to choose. They've totally got to choose. But the mine, actually, they were never fully yours. They're on loan from God. They're not the human beings. They're created by God. That you're yours in a very light sense for a while. You know, and then they're God's, actually. They're adults. They're his. And all that stuff. So you face the fact first that actually you can't protect them. You can't control them. You can't. But then you get this wonderful revelation of truth that actually sets you free. That actually Jesus can protect them. And Jesus can guide them and lead them and control them in the right way. And he steps in the ring and, oh, the relief. And the truth sets you free. That truth, that can be a revelation like Craig's had there at the baptism day, where you get free. Some of you looking in the mirror, see, here's some lies. Here a mixture of lies and truth, which is usually what it is. And then you get a certain amount of freedom. For others, that is a real process. A real process of renewal of the mind, of being in relationship with a God who loves you and keeps loving you, and having a revelation of his grace and his love for you. And slowly, slowly, you realize, oh yeah, this is who I am now. No, I am a Christian. I am a daughter of God. I am a son of God. That is actually who I am. And then slowly, your behavior, your mindset is changed, and you begin to be who you now actually are. You're not who you were, but it's a process. That's to do with relationship, actually, and receiving the love of the Father, and keep receiving the love of the Father. Does it happen in 3 months? No. Sorry. But it can happen in 3 years. Yeah. Can. There's people who started this church 3 years ago, honestly, they're not recognizable as the same people. But they haven't done Route 61 once. They've done it a few times. And a bit of other stuff as well. But they've started a process. Like Paul's saying there, you know, Paul's getting touched and blessed. I think he got saved last week. But it's a process. He's a prostitute. She lives like a prostitute because actually she is a prostitute. She thinks of herself as a prostitute. That's accurate because she is. She doesn't like it. She's a life of abuse. That's what she does. That's how she lives. That's who she is. She gets a letter through the post. It's from the king. Prostitution's illegal. But good news for her. He says, I hereby pardon all prostitutes. You're forgiven. Is it nice to be forgiven? Is it nice to not be condemned and you're going to be in trouble for it? Yes. Will her life change because of this letter? No. Then she gets another letter from the king. This one's got a name on the top. Mary. This is King Jehoshaphat. I love you. And I would like to marry you and make you my wife. Would you be my queen? And she, because she's sensible, says, yes, please. That sounds like a better life than mine. She goes to the palace. They get married that day. She wakes up the next morning. Does she feel like a queen or a prostitute? Prostitute. Thank you. She feels like a prostitute. Of course she does. Of course she does. But she's living in the palace now with the king. He actually loves her and he's going to keep loving her every single day of her life. One day, it might be weeks, it might be months, it might be years, it doesn't actually matter. She wakes up one day and feels like the queen because she is the queen. And who she was is not who she is anymore. And her mind and her emotions catch up with who she actually is now. Her position, her dignity, her authority. She is loved. She is the queen. Sounds like being a Christian to me, it's you. That's renewal of the mind. Some people are set free by the truth in an instant. Some people are set free over a while as the truth of their actual position and marriage to God sinks in. The truth every day of being loved unconditionally by Jesus, and your behavior and your mind slowly catch up with who you are. God's patient. He's not in any rush. What he's done for you is real. So you will get free. But the quicker you know this stuff and work with it, the quicker you'll enjoy that freedom. That's the point. You're already saved. What you want now is, as quick as possible, the benefits of that relationship with God. Often, with these things, there's spirits attached to them. We have authority over the devil, total authority to tell him to go, and he will go because we live in the palace and we're married to the king. That's actually who we are in Jesus. So you always have authority over him, always, even if you've sinned, even if you feel bad, even if you're weak, you still have the authority to tell him to go, and he'll go. Because of Jesus' name, not because of yours and your attachment to him. Authority is given to you. You're wearing it as a gift. When I was in India once, first time I went to India straight after Bible school, with the principal, Tony Gray, we were there for a month. And in one of the, there's loads of deliverance going on all the time. People are very demonized because they worship demons and offer them food and money and whatever. So I was in the class one day, just a young Bible college student, listening to Tony teach with a load of young Indian Bible college students. And these guys come in and say, there is a woman in the church. She is very demonized. Pastor, speaking to me, huh? Will you come and cast out the demon? I'm thinking, no chance. I was absolutely terrified. I'm in India. I don't know what this is going to look like. Do you know what I mean? She might be floating around the room for all I know. And they say, Pastor. I say, oh no, I'm not a pastor. I'm nobody. He's the pastor. He'll be finished in 10 minutes. get him to, no, Pastor Martin, you'll come and cast out the demon. You know, when they just don't give you any choice. And in India, some of you know this, that men hold hands, which is pretty freaky for an Englishman. But you got to get over it if you go to India. And they come and hold your hand. Come on, Pastor, come with me. Come on. And they both take you and you think, oh my goodness me. Here I go. I'm going to cast out a demon from this Hindu woman who is very possessed, according to them. And we went in this church building. And there's a woman wrapped in a sari, rolling around on the floor a little bit, moaning, holding her belly with a big red spot there. Young woman. With a couple of the guys stood round her, looking really bored, as though they do this every day, because they do, saying, you, unclean spirit, get out! Get out of her! Really looking bored, and I thought, and as I was walking towards him, I was just clocking it, this is what you do. This is what you do in India. So this, then, you know, because you're white, which is obviously ridiculous, but they defer to you straight away. And, oh, Pastor Martin, please come and take over. They probably think, thank goodness we're going for a cuppa. But so I literally just copied him. I put my hand on my hip, just like him. And I said, you, unclean spirit. I thought the Indian accent would help. Get out! That's not quite true. But it's sort of true. It's very close to that. And I literally just copied him. And, you know, within 5 minutes, this woman just sat up and she was bright and she stopped holding tummy and stopped crying and was free. She stood up, was delivered. And one of the pastors, one of the guys came to me and said, I saw it leave. It went out of that window there. I said, I did too. Yeah, I was going to say that just before you said it. And the fact is, feeling inadequate doesn't matter when it comes to driving out demons. And that's about as dramatic as it does get, you know. Most of the time. The truth is that it's actually not a big deal. Can a Christian have a demon? Yeah, of course they can. Of course they can. That's a ridiculous question. Can you have nits? Of course you can. If you never wash your hair and knock around with people with nits, can you be affected by that? Of course you can. Does that mean you're owned and possessed by the devil? You're never owned and possessed by the devil, ever. The word is, that old English word possession is demonized in the New Testament. It just means affected or oppressed by the devil. Are you ever affected and oppressed by the devil? Me too. Yeah, weekly there's a battle for me. I don't know about you. I have to discern whether there's a devil or not, or just a bad day. Often it's the devil. And you know, because you can sort it quickly. Spiritual things are sorted much more quickly than old ruts of mindset and habit and emotional hurt. They're much slower. Being free from spirits is very easy and quick. So be open to this possibility. Be aware. Be open. Rebuke the devil, command him to leave. Don't assume that every illness is what it looks like. Jesus said to that woman who was bent double, he made her stand up, and he said to the people in the synagogue, this woman has been oppressed by Satan for 18 years, was it? For 18 years or something, or more. Can't remember now exactly. And the spirit left her and she stood up. It was the spirit. I mean, you know, if she'd gone to the doctors, it would have said scoliosis of the spine, a slow curvature of the spine. It'll continue. It's old age, dear. No, it wasn't old age. It could have been. But in this instant, it was a demon. And it's like that with physical illness. Don't assume everything is just, well, I pulled it. Well, I banged it. Well, it's just my arthritis. Well, it's not your arthritis anyway, but it could be just a spirit. So pray along those lines. Command it to leave. Don't just ask for healing. Take authority over it. Resist it. And then be open to the Holy Spirit. for any doors that you've opened in your life, that's what the tick boxes are for, that have allowed the devil to come in a direct and specific way like that. Any involvement with the occult? One of our friends was around our house after an Alpha course, she came at our house in a group we were running for people that sort of gone a bit further with God, called Debbie, lovely lass. She was loved the Lord and couldn't speak in tongues, longed to speak in tongues and couldn't. Margaret was chatting to her one day about it. She said, is there anything you think? Or one of the sessions we were doing, the little book we were going through, said, have you ever been involved in the occult? And it mentioned Ouija boards. She said, well, I've never actually done the Ouija board ever, but I was in a nursery and the nursery teachers did Ouija board on a lunchtime, which is a scary thought, isn't it? While the kids are out. And they did Ouija board and I used to clear it up for them. I don't know whether there's anything to do with that. We said, well, why don't you pray about it? She said, okay then. She said, Lord, sorry for being there, for not walking out, and for tidying up that board after them, even though I didn't want to be involved in it. Sorry, Lord. She went, bang, hit the floor in our front room. Filled with the Holy Spirit, gift of tongues, burst out in tongues, absolutely free. That was a blockage in her life. Wasn't that deliberate? She's fairly on the outside of it. But a general acceptance is enough for the devil. He's no gentleman. He doesn't knock at the door and wait. He comes in if you unlock it. And she was delivered and filled with the Holy Spirit and able to speak in tongues. We were at Paul's church at Billingham and Stella's church, Stella's granddad's church. This woman comes up at the end for a bit of healing. She said, I've got a bad back. I'm in a lot of pain in my back. I said, well, let's pray for you. And I put my hand on her head. And when I did, I just saw a picture of like a sword going down her back. So I just invisibly, you know, not, she didn't know, just grabbed hold of the sword and pulled it out like that. And when I did, I felt it quiver like that in my hand. And she moved like that. She went, oh, what was that? I said, I don't know. You tell me, what was that? It was me and you, wasn't it? I can't remember. And she said, I'm out of pain. I'm out of pain. I can't believe it. She started crying. Her partner ran over. I was cuddling her. I said, why? How long have you been in pain like? She said, 20 years. Every day, 20 years. No pain now, no pain. She said, what happened? I said, well, I saw this like thing down your back. I said, that was a spirit, that. Spirit of infirmity. That's why it's gone so quick. I said, when did the pain start? Tell us about that. She said, well, I've been a nurse. And when I first started nursing, I felt such compassion for people. I used to wish that their pain would come into me, that I could take it for them. Be careful what you wish for. That's an open door. Pain, come into me. Oh, thank you, says the devil. I will. And you can have me for 20 years till Jesus sets you free. This is real, you know, real spirits. And we're to kick them out. Doors for the enemy. Common doors are things like the occult, like I mentioned. Curses, which can be things like, you know, there can be something generational. For instance, it can be just spiritualness, which is just dealt with in a moment. We'll deal with it tonight. For instance, someone's opened some door in your family line. They've reaped something. They've opened the family to something that you innocently are still under. There's a cloud. That can go just for the praying about it. And often goes when you're saved, to be honest. When you're saved, if you're the first Christian in your family line, that's usually the end of that. Or you make sure it is. You can make sure it is tonight. I was the first Christian in our family line, as far back as we could see. So you've got a particular authority over your family to stop that and to turn around and bless that. Change your family forever. But sometimes curses can be like related to judgments. That's why this is all connected with what you've already learned. Do you remember the forgiveness week and the judging? Do you remember how when you make a judgment of someone, what happens is you reap that judgment? That's what Jesus said. He said, don't judge, because the measure with which you measure will be measured back to you. A good measure poured into your lap, running over, a good or bad. So he says, do not judge. Just don't do it. Have you ever wondered why? Isn't it weird when a girl who has, for instance, an alcoholic father who beats her mother and says to herself, I'm never going to marry anyone like that. They marry someone like that. I mean, if you notice that, that is absolutely freaky, isn't it? Everything in her will wants to move the other direction, but she's attracted like a magnet to that kind of guy. Weird, no. A curse? Is she cursed? Absolutely. Who cursed her? Probably herself. How? She still hates her dad. Is she justified? No one's justified, according to Jesus, when you're a Christian, for hating anyone. You must forgive. It's a command. A command that sets you free. It's a kind command. You forgive them, and then you repent of judging him. She's judged her father, and she's reaped that judgment into her own life. That happens all the time. That's why judgments need to be broken, and it isn't just done on the forgiveness night of Route 61. This is the pattern for your life. It's very easy to judge people. Every time you go through trouble, you judge people. You know, I went through some big church trouble sometimes. I know you can't believe that, because there's never trouble in churches, is there? But, you know, I went through some big church trouble where I felt, you know what, honestly, I felt, I've kept my hands clean. I've been a good boy. I know how to forgive. I know how to forgive. I had a vivid dream. In the dream, it was a dream of God. And it was a time when I was really close to God. There was once, 1973. No. When I felt really close to God, I was falling asleep, praying, waking up, worshipping. It's beautiful, you know, one of those times. You get them occasionally. In that night, I had this dream, vivid dream. In our house, someone was downstairs, and I had a gun. I went downstairs, and they were burgling, and there was danger, and the kids were in the house, and it was my house, and I had the right, and I had the gun, and I shot them. It was a really vivid dream. Bang! After I shot them, and I felt totally justified in shooting them, I didn't quite feel so sure I was right. In the dream, the police arrived, and I felt less sure I was right. Then they started questioning about what happened and why I'd done what I'd done. And I felt even less sure I was right. Then they said to me, oh, I mean, it's not logical, but it's a dream, you know, dreams aren't. They said, you shot the wrong man. I'd shot the wrong man. I felt terrible. I woke up. Oh, no. Just before I woke up, I picked up the gun and started to release the bullets one at a time. I mean, they don't even have guns to do that. But anyway, the thing they do sometimes in movies. And I was letting the bullets fall out at the bottom of the gun. And as I did, they had names on. There were the names of all the people I'd judged in that church. It was my judgment gun, which no one could see. But it was a real gun that Martin Ruddick carried around in the back of his jeans. And every time one of those people was mentioned, though I'd forgiven them, because I'm a good boy, every time they were mentioned, I'd pull my judgment gun out and, oh yes, pop, have a little pop at them. It was a judgment gun. God help me repent and really forgive each of those people and let them go. Because that's how judgment works, actually. You actually, you're not qualified to judge them, and neither am I. And we get it wrong, and we get the wrong people, and you don't know what's going on in their life or what was going on in their life. You're not God. You can't judge accurately. You can't judge justly. Just don't do it. What's that got to do with curses? You bring curses on yourself if you don't. And the door's open for the enemy. And then there's the secrets. You know that we don't believe in secrets. We don't have any secrets here. We have no secrets in the leaders in terms of sin. We don't let that happen because we've chosen to live in the light with each other. So, you know, we sin. We can sin many times a day, but if I choose to sin, if I'm tempted, Martin, and I choose to sin, that's a different thing from just general sin. That's a choice. If I sin like that, ever, that comes out. That doesn't stay in me. I can't afford for that to stay in me. You can't afford for that to stay in me. No church can. I can't afford for that to stay in you. I want to encourage you. You want to be a member of this church. You follow us. You do what we do. We confess our sins to one another. And sometimes it isn't easy. It doesn't matter who it is. It can be to your wife if it needs to be. Your husband. Sometimes it's good to have a brother or a sister who you can trust. Who you can look into the eyes of them and see no condemnation and say the very worst about yourself. And they can pray for you. We don't only confess our sins to the Lord, because sometimes that's not enough. You can stay bound. You know you can. You can stay bound in bondage to a sin, in bondage to a sin. Sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. You need a brother or a sister. It says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That's where the healing is for the sin. So no secrets, okay? That's what the cross night was about, and I want to encourage you to do that. If there's ever anything in your life that no one knows, listen, someone needs to, a Christian. And confessing your sins to one another is just the healthy way to live the Christian life. You're living in the light, and I'm not talking about confessing your sins to everyone, and to hanging your dirty washing out every Sunday. Getting up there at the front, telling people what you've done. We're not interested. Go and find a brother or a sister who you trust and confess to them. Humble yourself. And what will you be? You'll be free. The devil will leave. That's what will happen. The devil will leave with his condemnation, with his guilt, with his, oh, if only they knew. Well, now they do know, devil, and they forgive me too. So beat it. And you can do that then, because you're free from condemnation. It's in the light. And that's sort of like the same thing, deliberate sin. So I've covered that as well, haven't I? So how do we get free? Well, repentance, like I've said. Changing things, stopping things. It's interesting, technology, isn't it? I mean, in our group, it's all about technology tonight. You know, gone are the days of Ouija boards. It's all iPads and my phone and my games and my, you know, these things are addictive. And these things lead us down into darkness. And these things, good in themselves, you know, some of our guys were saying tonight, they can just become idols. They're innocent, but they don't end up innocent. They end up consuming us for hours, doing nothing. And it's actually, one of the guys said, actually, that they're idols. And he's right. They're idols. So repentance is stopping things and turning, changing your mind. Well, you know what? I used to think I could do that, but do you know what? I've changed my mind. I don't think that's good for me. That's repentance. I've just been, personally, I've been doing loads of repenting lately, partly because I've been studying the Beatitudes just for my own personal study. I tell you, I'm absolutely battered. I stopped early this morning. I thought, I can't keep going with this. I'm absolutely beaten up. When you measure your life by Jesus' teaching and the Beatitudes, you do a lot of repenting. And it's so good for you. It's so good for you. To let the Lord shine his light on you and say, I'm going to stop that. Can't do that. I haven't even begun that. I'm nowhere there. And let the Lord deal with you. Repentance. Repentance leaves no room for the devil. It gets you full of God's Holy Spirit fire. Reinhard Bonnke said, the devil
is like a filthy stinking fly.
Because he was from Pakistan, Reinhard. And
he says, and he comes and lands on your food while you're cooking it.
Oh no, it isn't. Totally wrecked it. But anyway, he comes and lands on your stove.
And if you want rid of him, all you do is light the stove. No filthy stinking fly will come near the fire.
And he's right. You know, no devil comes near anyone who's on fire with the Holy Spirit because he burns up. The devil's attracted to dirt and darkness. When you put the light on, he scatters. When you put the fire on, he dies. He drops off and flees. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be soaking in the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Woman on our Alpha course once was totally addicted. Oh, I think I told you this. I've told you this, haven't I? Have I told you this? Was totally addicted to just to men and relationships. Unclean, couldn't stop. In tears, she said to a group of us, you know, we wouldn't listen to this type of counsel on our own. She said to a group of us at the end of an Alpha course, you know, oh, no, she didn't. No, actually, she was just told as a testimony. It was a small group leader that, it's good to be accurate. Anyway, she was addicted to a lifestyle of men, couldn't break out of it. And she said later in a testimony in tears, you know, it was really dangerous. She had a little girl in the flat with her, and she was hated her lifestyle, but could not stop. On the Holy Spirit day, she repented of this sin. She shared it with someone and she asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That night, she had a dream. In the dream, she was walking towards the edge of beautiful, clean water. Perfectly crystal clear water, like in a lake. She walked close to the edge, close to the edge, close to the edge. And as her toes touched the clean water, all these little snakes were swimming away from her, coming out of her toes, until there weren't any left. And she was just totally, totally clean. That's what happened to her. She came back to that the next week. She testified. You could see she was absolutely set free and delivered through the Holy Spirit, cleaning her from uncleanness. She married a guy from that Alpha course. They've had kids that are absolutely on fire for God, happily married. That's Jesus. Set free from uncleanness through being filled with the Holy Spirit. Set free from the devil. Prayer ministry, getting someone to pray with you, pray through stuff, is awesome. It's good. And do it yourself. Do it yourself. Take authority over your own kids' nightmares, over your own house, over your own life, over your own sicknesses, over your own body, marriage. Take authority. Chase the devil. Keep your borders free. Verbal, you know, it says in the New Testament of Jesus, cast out the spirits with a word. It's the word of authority that chases the devil. Who was it up he was testifying about? You know, I say that to the devil now. Oh, it was Liz. Yeah, you know, that sort of It's exactly that. That's all that the devil responds to. Smith Wigglesworth said, you can't be nice to the devil because he doesn't understand that language. You know, someone said to him, why do you get aggressive and shout when you pray? And that's what he meant, you know, shouting. When he was shouting, he'd be shouting at the devil, you know. He used to sometimes, I mean, it was a bit unusual. Anyway, forget him. But should we pray then? Why don't you, you don't need those prayers because we're going to put them on the screen. Why don't you get some space, find some space in here, and we'll pray through some prayers and renounce the devil from our lives. So if you find some space. Oh, that's not going to work. There is it. Thank you, Lord. So should we do a big shout for Jesus? After three, we'll shout for Jesus' mighty name, and then we'll start praying through these prayers. We'll just pray them all through together. We'll mention them all. We'll announce them. And then we'll thank the Lord and then have a big cheer at the end of each prayer. Is that okay? So after three, one, two, three. Thank you, Jesus, for your awesome love. Praise you, Lord, for your power and glory. We ask you, Lord, for liberty, freedom, holiness and power in this place, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Should we just pray it through together, or do you want me to pray it through first so you know what you're praying? Together, all together. Okay, awesome. Okay, one, two, three. Father in heaven, I come in the name of Jesus, asking you to deliver me from all the oppression of the enemy by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've bought my freedom with the blood of Jesus Christ. And now renounce the devil and all his works. I repent of any involvement with the occult, especially tarot cards, Ouija boards, mediums, transcendental meditation, horror movies, palm reading, ghost stories, horoscopes, seances, yoga, martial arts, Freemasonry, witchcraft, false religions. Lord, I receive your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. I command all evil spirits to leave my life now. Thank you, Jesus, for your deliverance. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill every part of us now in the name of Jesus. As every curse lifts off, as every bit of darkness goes, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and fill every part of our bodies and life. We belong to Jesus. We've been bought with his blood, and we don't want any part of us to remain in darkness. No secret rooms, no shadows, no clouds of oppression. We want to be free and maintain our freedom every day. Amen. Okay, let's pray this together. Father, I thank you that those who you bless are blessed indeed. Thank you, Jesus, that you became a curse for me on the cross so that I can be blessed forever. Father, I ask you to bless me and my family now. I ask you to cut off all generational curses that have been passed down through my father's and mother's bloodline. Remove every curse in the name of Jesus and replace it with your blessing. I now receive your blessing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that I've been born again into your family and have become an heir of the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're welcome to say hallelujah if you want, or praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Receive it personally. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, let's keep praying together. Thank you, Father, that as I walk in the light, I have fellowship with others, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. I repent of secret sins, of hiding, of pretending, of all hypocrisy. I choose to allow your light to shine in every area of my life. I now receive your forgiveness, Lord. I renounce all darkness, depression, suicidal thoughts, and double-mindedness. In the name and authority of Jesus, I command every evil spirit associated with these things to leave my life now. Thank you, Jesus, for your freedom. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to you. Thank you so much, Jesus. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. Just receive the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's keep praying together. Father God, thank you for your great love for me. Thank you that you delight to show mercy. I now repent of all willful sins and ask you to forgive me. I confess all disobedience to you, especially pride, rebellion, sexual immorality, pornography, homosexuality, idolatry. Forgive me for allowing other things to take your place in my life. I now receive your forgiveness and ask that you would shut any doors that I have opened to the enemy in these areas. In the name and authority of Jesus, I command every evil spirit associated with these sins to leave my life now. Thank you, Jesus, for your freedom. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just open your hands to receive the Holy Spirit. And if there's anything else that comes to mind, you can share that with the Lord now. Anything else the Holy Spirit brings to mind, you can just speak it out, whisper it out to the Lord. And just bring it into his presence now and let it be gone. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask you again now in Jesus' name to come, dear Lord. Come and fill us. We want every flame on in our lives. We don't want to have 6 rings on our burner cooker and only 3 on. We choose to turn them all on now. Ask you to ignite every area of our life that's been cold, that's been dark, that's been damaged, every part of our heart that's shut down. Every lie we've ever believed, we renounce in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the truth that sets us free. We ask you, Spirit of Truth, to flood our minds now, to rewrite the records of every mind, all the old habits and hang-ups and ruts that our mind runs in. Lord, let all roads lead to Jesus. Let all needs be satisfied in him. Thank you for your victory, Jesus, for your awesome resurrection from the dead. We ask you to bless us now, Jesus. We ask you to bless us. We ask you to lift up your pierced hand and to put it on every head in this room now. And fill us, Master, with your fire. Clothe us, Jesus, with power from on high. Anoint us, Jesus, to go around doing good, healing others who are oppressed of the devil, driving him out. Thank you, Jesus. You said we're the light of the world. Let that light blaze tonight in every person. Mighty God, you who are fire, the consuming fire, you who dwelt in the burning bush, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, all of us tonight. We welcome you. You are welcome. You are welcome. Lord, have every room. Just visualize your own house. Go around every room, give every room to the Lord. Every room. We command all fear to leave our lives in the name of Jesus, that irrational fear. We put our trust in you, Lord.